Shedding Shackles is sponsored by Roland Trujillo.
I was so happy when I became born again, so excited to start my new life, and I seem to have fallen off track. I know that I've done that now a bunch off and on, and so my question really is how can I get back on track, and not just back on track, but do what I know in my heart that God is telling me to do and not get distracted?
That's a great question. What you need is grace. You need God's grace, because otherwise we just keep falling. And we need someone to lift us up. We need someone to hold back the negativity. We need someone to restrain us. Without God's grace, we'd basically all be in the gutter, myself included. We need His grace.
Welcome to Shedding Shackles. Today's topic is the elevated state. And now, here's your Shedding Shackles host, Roland Trujillo.
Now, there's an interesting passage in the Bible in Thessalonians, in Paul's epistle to the Thessalonians. He talked about people having strong delusion so that they would believe a lie. Well, that's very interesting. If someone has a mindset where they can believe lies, or even take lies as being truth, if you take a lie as being the truth, then the truth will seem like a lie. So how are you going to be able to see the truth for sure? How are you going to be able to navigate the vicissitudes of life without falling and without being distracted? See, even being distracted is a fall. See, you've heard the term backsliding or backsliding Christians, or somebody said that he's backslidden. Well, normally when you hear that term, you think of somebody who falls off the wagon, who takes drugs again or something like that. But basically, when we become angry at someone and impatient with them, when we resent someone, that's a little backsliding, isn't it? When you think bad thoughts about someone, that's a backsliding. When you're selfish, that's backsliding, and so on and so forth. So I just want you to see that. So you need God's grace. And how are you going to get God's grace? Well, you need Him to lift you above the lies, above the negativity, above your tricky thoughts, above your imagination, which also plays tricks upon you and distracts you, above all the doubts. See, you need Him to raise you above that so that you can see clearly what is true from what is not true. And in order for that to happen, you have to basically wake up. See, when you wake up, then truth is there, reality is there, and yeah, God is also there, and His grace is there, and His forgiveness is there, and understanding is there. See, don't you need understanding for your kids, for your partner, and for yourself? They're all there when you wake up. But as long as you are lost down in your thoughts, when you are down there thinking and planning and scheming about what you want to get out of life, reliving the past and thinking about what somebody did to you and how you're going to get even with them and thinking bad thoughts about them and so on, when you're scheming for what you want, see, or scheming to avoid what you don't want to face, when you're basically hiding from conscience, hiding from God, hiding from reality, hiding from the truth, you prefer to live in your imagination where you can be king or queen, see, and where you're whatever you think is right. So you think that what you think is right, don't you? Well, not only is a lot of what you think not right, but it's not even your thoughts. Where did those thoughts come from? So today I'm going to talk about that, and I'm going to make you aware of the fact that there is a state of being fallen. We could call it a reprobate mind. We could call it a fallen mind. We could call it being in a trance where you're subject to the lie, subject to wrong authorities, see, and not subject to God. The answer is to be subject to God, receive His forgiveness and His grace, and then you can go forth as a valiant servant of God. But as it is now, you're down in hell. You're a slave in somebody's hell, a slave of your own thoughts. And they keep pulling you down, and they keep distracting you. So you need God to help you to be uplifted, and so that you'll fall less, and you'll fail less. Yeah, in the beginning, you won't become a saint, but you'll fall less. You'll fail less, and you'll begin to express more and more what is really true, and you will begin to have understanding, and it comes from God. What you get from out in the world is lies and half-truths and evasions and the kind of stuff that keeps you in a trance state, in a mild state, hypnotic trance, where you don't even know you're in a trance, but somehow you do things you don't even know why you do them, and you wonder why you do them, and you spend too much money, and you say the wrong thing, and things aren't working out, and it's because you're not in the elevated state where God's grace is available, where He can supply you with the right thing to do and the right thing to say, where He can give you good thoughts and realizations and inspirations, and where He can give you His grace so that you can function on that level. That's what we're going to be talking about today.
You're listening to Shedding Shackles with Roland Trujillo, Christian stress management on the radio for over 34 years.
Shedding Shackles podcasts are available at Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. Welcome back. And now, here's Roland.
Today I'm stopping by to ramble a little bit. I want to say to you that I'm working on a new book, and it's going to be real good. It's about sleepwalking Christians. That's right. Sleepwalking Christians. Christians who are sleepwalking. Now, let's see if I can elaborate a little bit upon that. See, a lot of people are Christians, but they don't feel like, deep down, they don't feel like Christians because something's going on. They're angry at somebody. They're looking at, you know, naughty pictures on the internet. They have bad thoughts. Maybe they're smoking, or they're drinking a little too much. Or maybe, you know, they're all caught up in video games, or gambling, or playing the lottery, or they resent their wife. Sometimes they think about divorce, or she resents her husband. Sometimes she thinks about divorce. And the kids, well, they got issues. You know, they're just regular kids, but they got some issues, and no, they're not perfect. But yeah, they are hanging around with the wrong crowd, and yeah, you caught them doing something that they shouldn't be doing. And there's something that they're doing that you really ought to say something about, but you don't know how to say it. And all this stuff is going on, and so you don't feel really good about being a Christian. You sort of feel like a hypocrite, a phony, and you don't like feeling that way.
You're listening to Shedding Shackles, helping you navigate life's challenges with poise and confidence. If you have a question or need advice, call our listener call-in line at 510-455-8851. That's 510-455-8851.
So you're not totally 100% through and through, right? Christ said, first make the inside. I forget how he said it. Remember, he said, make the inside clean. I forget exactly how he said it, but it was very well said. All right, so there you are, and you're not perfect, and you want to get the inside clean, but you don't know how. All right, so like I said, that's not a bad place to be, because you see that you can't make yourself right. You've tried and it hasn't worked. You want to be right. You don't want to be wrong. And you see this dark side of yourself. You can see how it can grow stronger. Like when you get resentful, if you get really resentful at your husband, for example, then this dark side of you starts to take over. It grows stronger. Maybe it doesn't take over, but it grows stronger. Get really resentful and judgmental toward your husband and your dark side grows stronger. The witchy side grows stronger. And the dark thoughts grow stronger. You see what I mean? And you guys, yeah, you're doing pretty good. And then all of a sudden, you resent your wife or you get really angry at somebody. And then you feel like going and having a drink and looking at bad stuff on the internet and see how it grows stronger. So whenever you fail in any way, the dark side grows stronger. So you know you shouldn't fail, but once again, you can't stop yourself. Okay, so that's not a bad place to be, because now you're on the verge of, see, now all you have to do is look just a little more. Doesn't it, remember it said in the Bible, there's the most beautiful verse. It's in the Old Testament. It's like, when you seek for me with, God said through his prophet, when you seek for me with all your heart, when you search for me with all your heart, then you will find me. So we search for God, but not with our whole heart. Okay? All right. So now that I've laid this groundwork and I said, okay, all you have to do is go an extra step in the right direction in your seeking for God, and you'll have it made into shade.
Studies have found that stress compromises your immune system. The Shedding Shackles Minute. I'm Jeremiah Trujillo. We all know that when we get really upset, sometimes we get sick afterwards, right? Stress is more than you think. For the human being, emotions are stress. I'm here to tell you that the human was created to be not emotional. The human was created to acknowledge God, to know God, and to be with God forever. Find more inspiration for your day at SheddingShackles.com.
The concept of sleepwalking Christians comes in right here. So let's say that this is an example that I gave in a previous program, but I think it's a good example. And I'll just repeat briefly what I said. And that is, I talk about hypnosis. And we've all seen hypnosis acts. We've seen stage hypnosis. It was a hypnotist that came to your high school and gave a fundraising fundraising event. He came and it was very interesting. And or we've seen it on the internet, or you've gone to a nightclub, or you've gone to Las Vegas and you've seen a hypnosis act, and it's fun and it's kind of interesting. But I want you to know that it's a real thing, this hypnosis. So you can have somebody on the stage, you can hypnotize them, and then say that when I snap my fingers, you'll open your eyes, and then when I start pulling on my ear, when you see me pulling on my ear, then you'll get a sudden compulsion where you want to take one of the other people on the stage's shoes and put their shoe on your foot. So the person is hypnotized, and then he snaps his fingers and they open their eyes and they seem perfectly normal. They don't seem hypnotized at all. Maybe the other people on the stage are kind of sleeping. He hypnotized them and told them to take a rest. So they're all resting. They got their eyes closed. And now this person who he had hypnotized, he to want to take somebody else's shoe. Now he pulls on his ear. That's the clue. That's the cue. That's the signal. And when he starts tugging on his ear a little bit, on his earlobe, then the person suddenly looks at the other person's shoe and then takes their shoe, lifts their leg up. It's kind of heavy. Lifts their leg up a little bit, takes their shoe off, puts it on their foot. And then they just sit there. Well, then later on, the hypnotist dehypnotizes everybody and dehypnotizes this person and said, look, you got their shoe on your foot. And the person is kind of surprised and asked him, well, why'd you put their shoe on your foot? And they said, well, I kind of liked it, or I thought it was my shoe, or I thought it looked kind of nice. I wanted to see what it looked like on me. Or they make up some excuse. But the truth is that they were hypnotized to do it by the hypnotist. So they make up an excuse, and then, but here they are with the other person's shoe on their foot. All right, well, I think you got the idea. So suppose out in life, you have people, and pretty soon they come under some pressure, some overbearing pressure. See, the hypnotist on the stage very cleverly has an overbearing manner. He applies pressure, before you know it, the person is hypnotized. Well, out in life, who can apply pressure to you? Well, your mother certainly could apply pressure, couldn't you? How about the peer group? They certainly applied pressure to you and probably still are applying pressure. And you find yourself doing things that the peer group has you to do, or your culture has you to do, or your mother has you to do, or your wife has you to do, or what you read in magazines or what see on the internet tells you to do. And you're doing all these things because someone else said to do it, and you think it's your own idea, but it was never your own idea. So now I just want you to think for just a moment about the example I just gave, the person who put the other person's shoe on their foot and then later made excuses and justified why they did it. But the real reason they did it is because they had been hypnotized and told to do it. All right, so now you got the idea. All through your life, there have been hypnotists. No, they're not on the stage, but they're out in life. People whose overbearing manner, whose personality, whose authority, who the uniform they wear, the white coat they wear, the school teacher type clothes they wear, the office that they have, the way other people act toward them, they become a hypnotist. And they get your attention. They get you distracted. They ask you to do this and to do that and this and that, all these little things. And you do all these little things. And the more little things you do, the more you come under their sway. And before long, they're saying, well, you should go to college. You should do this. You should do that. And you do it. And you find yourself doing it and you have conflict because you don't really want to, you don't really want to do what they're asking you to do. So you rush off, but you're still in this hypnotic trance and you fall under somebody else's sway. Maybe you fall under the sway of the local good-for-nothing in the neighborhood or some gang leader. Or you fall under the bartender's sway or some gambling casino's sway. And there you are doing those things. So you go back and forth, and everywhere you go, people are making suggestions and people are upsetting you and people are distracting you, and you get totally caught up in all these things and you're hypnotized. And then you go to buy a car and the salesperson knows how to pressure you, and then before you know it, you're buying it. And then later you say, what did I buy that for? See what I mean? So I think I've made my point. So the secret then, if you don't want to be a sleepwalking Christian who is doing nice things because you've been pressured into acting nice, and you don't want to do not so nice things because someone pressured you or teased you into doing not so nice things, you want to live your own life and be completely honest, spontaneous. See, transparent. You are what you are. You feel good in your own, about being in your own skin, and you live your own life so you don't have conflict. Why would you have conflict? Look, if you drink or you smoke, or if you get super angry at your wife, or you resent your husband or something, you have conflict over it. You have guilt over it. Somehow you know that you did something that you shouldn't do, and somehow you did it, maybe under the sway of emotions, but you didn't really want to do it. But if you always did what you really and truly deep in your heart want to do, then you know what? If you're the kind of person who inclines toward God, Hitler is the kind of person who inclines the other way. All right, so Hitler kind of likes being rotten and likes doing rotten things and feels good about it. Okay, well, Hitler, you know, there's not much chance for him, is there? But you're not that kind of person, because when you do things that aren't so good, you have conflict over it. All right, so you're basically, your destiny is a higher one, a good one. You're going the opposite way of Hitler. But right now, you're kind of stuck in the middle. So you want to start moving toward the good, and the way to do that is to begin searching for God. You want to know what His will is, and you want to be free of what it is that's compelling you and pressuring you and forcing you to do things that aren't so good, or to be a hypocrite. You want to be a real spontaneous, like you were when you were a little tiny kid. See, you were a beautiful, beautiful being. Yeah, not perfect, but you were a beautiful being when you were a little kid. Well, you can be that way again. And the one who can help you to do that is God. He's the one. He wants to save you. He wants to save you from the hypnosis, from the pressure, from the compulsions, from the hypocrisy, from the not living your own life. He wants to help you to live your own life and be your own person. Yeah, and be His person. See, wouldn't that be beautiful? If you did what God wants you to do because you wanted to, see. So if you want to do what's right, then search for Him. Find Him. Let Him into your life. Right now you're struggling with all these things, and you're beating yourself up, and you're having all these negative thoughts. You have to learn to just stand back from those. Stand back from it all. And just take a little time to let your hair down and just be a plain and simple person. Never mind whether you're a good person or a bad person. Never mind whether you are doing what other people want you to do or not doing what they want you to do. Or never mind whether other people think you're a nice person or not a nice person. Never mind all of that. Just for a while, do your duty as, you know, a wife or a husband or a worker. Do your duty. And search out the way. Don't try to make anything happen. Wait for God to make something happen. Wait for Him to touch your life and begin to change things for the better. When I started to get better, when somehow God reached into my gloom and turned up the light a little bit, and then I saw some things. I saw that I'd hated my mom and resented my wife, and I saw things like that, and then I was sorry. In God's light made me feel regret about what I saw about myself. So I was starting to get better. The new life was starting to unfold. And the first thing I did, I lost all my jobs. I think I had 3 jobs at that time. They all went away. I got fired from one job. Another job, suddenly there was no work to do. Another job, somehow they didn't like me anymore, and they just didn't give me any more to do. And so all of a sudden, I was like unemployed, but I had lots and lots of time. And I began to realize and understand and see, and the baggage from the past began to let me go. It began to fade away. And one by one, the things that I used to do that weren't so good, they started to fall away one by one. And then I saw myself improving. I wasn't trying to make myself better, but somehow I woke up and looked at myself, and somehow I was doing better. And I was seeing more clearly, and I was being more honest, and I was being more spontaneous, and I was being less of a hypocrite. And some of the old things from the past, they just let me go. They just let me go. And I was free. So you need God to help you with that. That's what grace is all about. All right. So I think I have said what I wanted to say, or not what I wanted to say, but what came out. That's what came out, but it was pretty good. So I have something that will help you. I have a little meditation that will help you. It just helps you to stand back from your thoughts. See, right now your thoughts, they keep pulling you down. They keep pulling you down. And so you need to be able to stand back from them. And then you need to stand back from your emotions a little bit so you can watch them and let your emotions calm down. And then calm and reasonable and not hypnotized. So what am I talking about? I'm talking about waking up. That's it. Waking up from hypnosis. You didn't know you were hypnotized. It doesn't look like you are, but the other people walking around you, they don't look hypnotized either. But do they do things that they really don't want to do? And then afterwards they make excuses? They sure do, so they must be hypnotized. But they don't look hypnotized, but they are. You need to wake up. Wake up, smell the coffee, see reality. All right. And that's where God is. He's in reality. He's not in the nightmares. He's not in the daydreams. He's not in trying to figure things out. He's not there. He's where thoughts are not. Until next time, Lord willing, and the creek don't rise, I'll see you then. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to Shedding Shackles with your host, Roland Trujillo. Now you can listen to Roland anytime by logging on to www.sheddingshackles.com. You'll find lots of free, helpful information, and you can also order materials or make a donation by using your credit card. Once again, the web address is sheddingshackles.com. Please remember that Shedding Shackles is listener-supported. Thank you.
Shedding Shackles is sponsored by Roland Trujillo.